The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece that I trust you'll enjoy.
And I don't often say this, but I have one of the greatest living thinkers on the line. His name is George Gilder. I have read him since I was in college. I have interviewed him on most of his books, and he has done 3 courses for Prager University, and he is, and this is my highest accolade, aside from a very good man, which is the highest, he is an original thinker. That's very rare. George Gilder, I hope I didn't embarrass you.
Well, thank you, Dennis. It's always thrilling to be on your program. And I return all the accolades in your direction.
Well, it's very sweet. That's just an ode to your kindness. He has a new book out. It's called Life After Google, the fall of Big Data and the Rise of the Blockchain Economy. He has been very good in his predictions, folks. So I take this stuff seriously, but I will admit it's a little hard to imagine right now life after Google, George. They are pretty powerful.
Just as IBM was the dominant force in the world economy 25 years ago, regarded to be an appropriate target for government antitrust and government harassment, Google has reached a similar pinnacle just before it begins to decline.
Right. And why? Well, there were of course rivals to IBM that simply superseded it. What will cause Google to fall?
They have a philosophy that is false, a system of the world which will fail. Rather than trying to provide tools to enhance human productivity, they're providing artificial intelligence and machine learning to usurp human minds and transcend human minds in a singularity. This is a new form of Marxism, in my view. Just as Marx imagined that the great industrial breakthroughs of the 19th century were the final accomplishment of human industry, and that the future would consist in programs for redistributing existing wealth, so the Google people imagine that their current technologies, their machine learning, their artificial intelligence, their super artificial intelligence, their Google minds, their robots, obsolete human beings, and that somehow their computers can be minds. And it's an utterly delusional idea. And it's implemented by a business strategy that will fail.
Right. But the reason we think of Google today is not because of its commitment to artificial intelligence, but because 90% of all searches on Earth are done through Google.
Yep. Google, however, 52% of all searches that are seeking to actually purchase a good or service are now done through Amazon. Amazon is usurping Google in commercial search, and Google's advertising strategy, which is a complete non-starter on the portable teleputers, our smartphones, which are the chief vehicle now, just congest the machines and are increasingly subjected to ad blockers and and they're on the way down.
All right, so give us a picture in your, even if it's from your imagination, of what could supersede Google.
What can supersede Google is what I call the cryptochasm, the new economy that's emerging from blockchains and other cryptographic innovations that create a new architecture for the internet and replace the top-down, insecure, porous, manipulated architecture of Google with an architecture that's bottom-up and based on the securely maintained identities and privacy and content of the users.
Well, let's put it as simply as I can, at any rate. If I want to Google, what books did George Gilder write? So, actually, that's funny that I'm asking that, because I've just answered the question with your previous comment. The truth is, I would go to Amazon to find out what you wrote.
You probably would, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would, in fact. In fact, that's probably the answer that would come up in any event. George Gilder at Amazon. All right, so let's do a different one. Who fought the 30 Years' War? So where would you go today to find out the answer to that?
I certainly would go to Google. And I'm not disparaging Google's magnificent accomplishment in creating a 43 megahertz search engine, millions of searches a minute. It's an awesome accomplishment, but it's now been accomplished, and it's accompanied not by a big flow of income from the service that they're providing, but rather by collecting data from its customers and agglomerating it in big data and selling the big data to advertisers. And that kludge, that roundabout way of collecting money, is going to be of declining effectiveness in coming years. And Google knows it. Google is trying to switch from search, where they send you to some other web page, to solutions. So Google will have all the answers. But that transition will be awkward, and they have many rivals in supplying it, and particularly in the face of the change in the balance of power on the internet that will be accomplished by the blockchain revolution.
Okay, you'll have to explain that. Let me just remind everybody, I'm speaking with George Gilder, whose books have had a deep impact on my life. In fact, on my 10 that most influenced me, George Gilder's book originally titled Sexual Suicide, I think. What was it? What was it when you republished Sexual Suicide?
Men and Marriage is still in print, and it still says everything that Jordan Peterson says, more eloquently, perhaps.
No,
I'm not knocking Jordan.
I'm a big fan of both of yours, but there nothing competes with what you wrote there. It was life-changing for me to read those two books about men, about sexuality, about men and women. So anyway, it's up there at on my list of the 10 books. George Gilder's latest book is Life After Google. All right, so now explain to those of us who don't know, I am one of them, what is blockchain?
Blockchain is a distributed way of collecting and validating information. You know, what Google does is provide security by concentrating all the information in a big data center somewhere and controlling it and defending it with firewalls and encryption and intrusion detection systems and other defense and SWAT teams of anti-hackers. But they're discovering that centralization is not safe. All of the internet is hopelessly insecure. And in an insecure internet, all the money and power gets sucked up to the top. that architecture is being countered by a blockchain or a block stack where individuals keep their own personal data and transactions and collections of secure facts and truths and data are incorporated or distributed across all the nodes in the network through an ingenious mathematical process called hashing. So they're all connected together and time-stamped and can't be changed unless you capture half the computers on the network, and which is virtually impossible to do.
All right. George Gilder, you write about many things, including in your latest book. The book is up at DennisPrager.com, folks, Life After Google. One more tech question, and then I want to ask you about the current political situation and colleges and much more. And that is, you're not gung-ho on the future of Google. What's the story? I assume you have the same feelings towards Facebook and the like?
Yes, Facebook also tries to collect big data and transform it into advertising. And nobody wants to read advertising in their timeline. It's just a loser strategy to begin with. And
by the way,
no one wants
yes.
to listen to ad before their YouTube.
That's right. So let me ask you, that is a very, very interesting point. Every single time a sound comes on, one of these videos comes on that I didn't ask for when I go to a page at some website, I immediately put on the mute button. I can't believe that I am alone in doing that. Why do they think it's so profitable?
Because they think they can collect all the data in the world and create a machine mind that can anticipate all the desires of the customers and deliver advertising to them that they will want.
Okay.
That will create a vast new accumulation of wealth.
Right. I understand that. All right. So I was not precise. Why do they think I, the consumer, will watch that video? That's what I meant to ask.
I don't think they do anymore. It's been it's shown that at least on smartphones, 0.003% of the ads are actually clicked through. In other words, it's just a complete failure, this effort to insert ads in smartphones. And so this whole teetering tower of technology is about to crash and give way to a new economy based on the cryptographic advances that are already transforming the global financial system as we speak. $17 billion has been raised on the Ethereum platform in smart contracts that produce ICOs, initial coin offerings, that have really replaced IPOs in the U.S. economy.
Will all of this lead to more or less free speech on the Internet?
More free speech. I think this business of having the government regulate all these channels is just a non-starter. Having Zuckerberg have to decide just what to do about each issue as it emerges is quite absurd. Defining whether news is fake or fact. And I think that the blockchain economy will allow the establishment of facts. It's actually a better system even than cash. A cash is anonymous, but cash doesn't allow you to document your transactions and behavior. So the government can make any charges against you, can manipulate the facts. a time-stamped blockchain record of transactions and behavior and licenses and patents and your own truths is unimpeachable, and it gives the citizen a way to fight back against government
right.
charges,
George, right.
if they're false.
Right now, George, about 40 pre-university videos have been on the restricted list of Google, which owns YouTube. Under your prognosis, will that change?
That will change. That you'll be able to... a new regime of micropayments will become possible. You'll be able to make very small charges that suffice to halt spam, but which are hassle-free and allow an economy to emerge in which really valuable products like Prager University courses can prevail over all the trash that is increasingly accumulating in the internet sites.
Right. All right, let's move on to some other issues in current life, just to get your take on it. You and I are both fans, not fans, of what has happened to the universities. Why do so many businesses say you have to have a college degree in order to apply for a job when it's completely irrelevant and probably half the great people didn't even go to college?
Well, this is my life after Google is full of critiques of the university system and alternatives to it. And the reason is because all the anti-discrimination and affirmative action rulings have made employment really illegal to discriminate among people on the basis of merit and accomplishment. You have to use credentialism, and credentialism is the defense that universities use against the affirmative action bureaucracies that try to break down their employment practices.
All right. I'm very curious. I've never talked to you about this. I don't know what your answer will be, so I'll just venture a question. Since the day Donald Trump was elected, the country has experienced, in my opinion, but if you differ, please totally feel free to say so, a hysterical reaction after hysterical reaction, to the point where he is now routinely called a Nazi and a traitor. All right, I guess that is the answer. So how do you view this unprecedented irrationality that is engulfing the elite?
I think Trump is a business leader who has to be tested by his actions. He's a man of action, and they're obsessed with his words, but they're actually shocked by his actions, moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Well, politicians have been promising that for decades. He did it. Closed down the Paris climate change cult. That was a lot of people have raised questions about this global climate fantasy, but Trump just really reversed our policy, made America open to industry again. His trade policy, I don't agree with on the surface, but it attacks a major flaw in the fabric of global capitalism, and that is the foreign exchange markets that are now 75 times bigger than all the trade in goods and services in the world put together, 25 times all U.S. GNP, global GNP, excuse me, $5.1 trillion a day. It's the biggest industry in the world, and it dwarfs in its impact any trade agreements that are made. Any trade agreements can be nullified by central banks manipulating their currencies. So we need, and this is another problem that's being addressed by the cryptocosm, by the new movement of digital currencies, increasingly linked to gold and promising to restore money as a measuring stick rather than a magic wand for big banks.
All right. This is my final question to you, and it's, I say it with pain because I'd like to ask you so much more. But I am curious. Another question I don't know how you'll answer. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the American future?
I'm optimistic about the American future. By temperament, I'm optimistic. I think that it's been the Trump election was really an amazing surprise, and his emergence as a real conservative has been quite stunning. And I think that there are many reasons to be optimistic. And among them is this fantastic creativity of the cryptocosm, this new, imagine, we've had no IPOs for 20 years, just almost no tech IPOs of consequence. A 90% drop, a 50% drop in companies on the stock exchange, in public companies have dropped 50%. And here, Valerik Buterin gets lured out of college by Peter Thiel's fellowship and goes to Israel and learns about new cryptographic possibilities in Israel, master coins and colored coins. Comes back and starts Ethereum, and within a year, $17 trillion of new money has been channeled to some 2,000 startups. It's just an amazing efflorescence.
Well, all right. George Gilder's book, Life After Google. George, you're a treasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Your freedom is under attack, but if you act now, you can protect not only your family, but generations to come. Go to townhallreview.com, and to find out how you can join Alliance Defending Freedom to help ensure the opponents of freedom don't dictate your future. That's townhall.com. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.